The Sioux City International Film Festival returns after a year off due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
It's been really cool to see how it's like grown so big the last several years.
The event celebrates cinema from Siouxland and across the world.
It gets all the filmmakers together and we get to say, you know, who is your sound guy and where did you get this idea?
During the next hour of the exchange, hear details about this four-day festival showcasing more than 80 films, including the Sioux City debut of the documentary Storm Lake, featuring the fight of a small-town publisher to keep his family-owned newspaper alive.
That we've got to be a growing rural community, otherwise we're declining.
We also take time to remember one of the co-founders who passed away this year.
Rick really was absolutely enthusiastic about bringing an educational component to it with workshops, really developing the whole festival from its very meager beginnings with VHS tapes to something that moved to the promenade.
One of the reasons why we started it, because the only films we got here back in the day were the big mass market films. We never got the interesting stuff that showed up in Minneapolis or Chicago. So we just said, let's try something on our own, and boy, has it ever grown.
Heard the voice of Rick Mullen, one of the co-founders of the Sioux City International Film Festival. I'm here with Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer. We're going to talk about this year's festival. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Mary. You know, this festival has been a long-time tradition. It starts September 30th and runs through October 3rd, Thursday through Sunday, at the Promenade Theater in downtown Sioux City. Now, of course, the festival on hiatus last year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, today, we're going to speak with a couple of filmmakers with local ties. First, a conversation with the subject of the featured film at this year's festival. It's a documentary called Storm Lake, and it's the story of Art Cullen, his family, and of course, Art, the Pulitzer Prize winning owner and editor of the newspaper in Storm Lake, the Storm Lake Times. Well, this film is being shown Thursday night as a local films block of the festival. Art has been on the road promoting the film, and today he talks to us from his home in Storm Lake about the movie and more.
When we won the Pulitzer, a guy who grew up on a northern Iowa hog farm near Buffalo Center in Winnebago County, Jerry Recious, he went off to fame and fortune as the director of photography for Anthony Bourdain, the noted chef on CNN.
Seattle, a city with a collective identity constantly in flux, always changing.
Been all over the world, and he reads a headline in the New York Times out in Brooklyn that morning saying Northwest Iowa newspaper, tiny paper, wins Pulitzer Prize. So, you know, it turned his head. And he called me up and said, hey, you know, I'm coming out to visit my parents. Could I just hang around and shoot you for an afternoon? And I said, sure. And that's how it came about.
Well, and you still have a good relationship with them. I read somewhere where you've bonded over your love of hippie music. Do you have a certain artist that you guys really like to listen to?
Well, you know, Jerry and I, we just toured Chicago, Detroit with Beth Levison, the other director. We just toured Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, and all over Iowa on a 3-day or on a 10-day swing, actually. But anyway, Jerry and I were able to take a little dive down to Motown, Hitsville, USA, where Barry Gordy held forth, and we went to Aretha Franklin's home church. And so we took a soul excursion in Detroit. So that was great. What you want? Yeah, Jerry and I hit it off really well. We're about the same age. He went to the University of Iowa, was in the Peace Corps, and then, you know, he got Beth involved. Beth's a top flight producer from New York, one of the great indie film producers. And, you know, we became good friends. And they, you know, it was like, you know, they've been working with us since 2018.
And are you going to continue to do more of these premiere events, talking about the issues that you really feel are important?
Yeah, so, you know, we're screening in Sioux City Thursday night, and I'll be there, and my wife Dolores will be there afterwards, and I think my brother John and maybe my son Tom who's flying back from Milwaukee and Columbia, Missouri, where he was doing live appearances with the documentary. And so we hope to be there all Thursday night. I'll be there for sure. And then I'll be doing an event out in Denver, and then we're doing, you know, like Zoom presentations in Seattle, and who knows where else, maybe LA, New York. So it's been quite a whirlwind for us.
Well, this movie is getting a lot of great buzz. I mean, the American Film Institute, their Docs Awards, gave it the Festival right. Audience Award for Best Feature. A Washington Post columnist said it felt like they were living in Storm Lake. The Hollywood Reporter loved the film as well. I mean, do you think this thing could actually, you know, win an Oscar? I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it.
Well, it should, of course. I don't know. I don't know how you win an Oscar or an Emmy or even a Pulitzer. There's a certain sort of magic involved, I think, that happens because, you know, it gets that. I've actually judged the Pulitzer Prizes after I won it. And, you know, you get down to splitting hairs. Who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? You know, and so I don't know what it takes to get one of those gold statuettes. But it deserves one, in my view, because it really is an accurate picture, I think, a portrayal of small town Iowa and, you know, a newspaper and, you know, and how these communities govern themselves.
In a small northwest Iowa town, the Storm Lake Times weaves the fabric of the community in large ways and small.
Yeah.
Right.
We're on deadline. We're ready to put it on the page.
I get real uptight about deadlines.
Readers decide our future, not any branch of government.
We have happy stories about all types of people.
Gives a really in-depth look at the Iowa caucuses, at a guy who works at the garbage dump and recycling plant running for the Alta City Council. Stories like that really illustrate rural Americans engaging in their communities.
Longer interview with Art on our website, kwit.org, where he talks about the community of Storm Lake, the evolution of the town in Buena Vista County, the future of journalism, and even a nonprofit organization that he launched with other regional newspapers called the Western Iowa Journalism Foundation.
And, you know, there are several local filmmakers at this year's Sioux City International Film Festival. I talked about them and other things going on at the festival with Leslie Worden. She is the president, Greg Giles, the vice president of the festival board. I talked with them about the films, the filmmakers, the board's response to the coronavirus, and how strange it is to be doing the 16th film festival without one of the co-founders, Rick Mullen. Rick died earlier this year.
Well, actually, it's a huge loss for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that Rick was one of the founding members and was our president and was really our leading light and the pole star whom we all followed. He, secondarily, from a selfish standpoint, Rick was retired, so he was able to do just a ton of stuff relating to getting the film festival assembled and doing press releases and things like that, because we're every single one of us on the board of directors have full-time jobs. So it is very difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very difficult for all of us to try and scramble our schedules around when we've got full-time jobs and still trying to pull off what I think will be a very good festival this year. We have 83 films. We had hundreds of submissions, but definitely the loss is felt. And we've renamed our Filmmakers Lounge, the Rick Mullen Memorial Filmmakers Lounge, and we have a larger-than-life 6 or 7 foot tall poster with Rick interviewing some filmmakers from years past, and his autograph is actually on it, his signature, so it's kind of cool for our green room.
Leslie, what do you think?
I think that Rick bring an energy to the film festival that we will miss. Frankly, all of us are very high energy people, but Rick really was absolutely enthusiastic about meeting with the filmmakers, making sure they had a good time, making sure we had a good schedule for them, bringing an educational component to it with workshops, really developing the whole festival from its very meager beginnings with VHS tapes to something that moved to the promenade with the beautiful seats. We've always had wonderful people on the board, from what I understand. I joined in 2018, and Rick always wanted to make sure that he brought people to the board that had a passion for films, that really enjoyed the concept of independent films and short films, and to make sure that the folks who were on the board would be willing to put in some time and effort to make sure that the festival ran well. And based on that, we have a really good board right now who was willing to keep the festival going. After Rick passed, I spoke to his wife and I said, is there anything that you'd like us to do? And she said, just make sure you have at least one more festival. And I think everybody on the board is like, great, one more, but we do want to keep this going, because there's a trajectory that began before 2018. And 2018 was when Ron Clements was here. And that was all that current board, including Tim Bataro and, of course, Rick. So I think the loss for us is the energy that he brought and the passion for being with the filmmakers. We'll miss that for sure, but we're going to try to keep that going.
Yeah, Rick was a true film buff, a real film lover, and that sort of energy is very much missing. But we are all film lovers. I mean, obviously, Adam Goncharowski is a filmmaker, and so we're going to, a testament to the a tribute to Rick's energy is that we are continuing. And as a matter of fact, Sue, his widow, not only is she going to be in attendance, but I believe her brother and sister-in-law are coming in from Chicago as well, in honor of Rick.
Yeah, I noticed that when he died, all these people from around the business of film, TV, et cetera, it was Rick Steves from the Travel Show, wrote a beautiful memorial to him. He said, because he had traveled with him.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he loved travel. Rick Mullen loved travel. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was really nice to see. What about the coronavirus? We're still dealing with it. I mean, all of us are vaccinated. So what are the requirements for attending this festival?
Well, as a matter of fact, at the Promenade Cinema 14, which is our home base and has been for a couple of years, there's not currently any signage up, but we're going to be putting up a sign strongly suggesting that folks mask up. I mean, it is, one venue is 115.
105 is one theater and 85 is
85
another.
85 is the other. And, you know, we'd be lucky to get full houses, but on the off chance that we do, for sure, caution being the byword, masking up, I think we'll probably have hand sanitizer available as well.
And masks. We'll have masks available in case anyone forgot or would like to at the last minute. So we'll make sure that all the precautions are taken. Of course, the Promenade cleans to the best of their abilities in between showings. So we want to make sure that we're following all cleanliness guidelines and strongly advising people to mask, especially to take care of themselves and others.
Well, I talked to Tim Bataro about this year, and he said the theme was Latinx. Can we talk about that, what that is this year, what you guys are doing?
Well, September is National Hispanic Awareness and Hispanic Heritage Month, and we were looking for having a theme, as obviously Leslie alluded. 2 years ago, it was Women in Film. We've already got an idea for next year. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. And so for this year, we decided that Latin culture, Latinx, Hispanic heritage would be a suitable and appropriate, given the demographic changes in the Siouxland area. We have not limited that. Matter of fact, as I referenced, we had hundreds of submissions of films, but we did get a significant number from either Hispanic surname submissions or Hispanic characters or Hispanic Latinx themes in the movies, but it does not predominate. But one of the guest speakers we have two of our guest speakers, one who's coming in via Zoom, Dennis Nielsen from Brazil, and then also Carlos Carrasco, who's an actor, colleague, friend of mine from Los Angeles. He's Panamanian and is actually running his own film festival currently, the Panamanian International Film Festival in Los Angeles. He has a long, long history of working in the industry as an actor and a director, and we'll be able to provide some insights into what it is like to, because it is a dominated industry Caucasianly dominated, and so to have someone with the perspective of being Hispanic and being able to work in the industry. And with the way it's shifted over the past few years will provide some good insights, I think.
As Greg noted, we have several films who've come in from Latinx filmmakers, but the theme is really primarily for the workshops that we do. And so that's why he's mentioning the two speakers from Brazil and LA. And it's been a little bit harder, I'm not going to lie. It's been a little harder to try to convince folks to come in. So we've expanded the workshops to go a little bit beyond Latinx. We've got director John Gray coming in. He is the one who created The Ghost Whisperer on CBS.
He has a film submitted in the festival.
And he has a film in the horror section called The Desecrated, which is a creep fest, let me just guarantee you that. And then we also have another filmmaker coming in via Zoom, Getty Watanabe, and the writer of the film that he directed, Anna Kaiser. They're both going to co-do a workshop for us. And then, of course, any filmmakers who are in person will do a filmmaker's roundtable on Friday afternoon, and we'll Zoom in a couple of the filmmakers as well. And again, Adam Goncharowski has been the one to coordinate all of that with help from Greg, of course, for Carlos Carrasco, as they do have a previous relationship and as colleagues.
I was talking with Michael White about the fact that he really feels people get a lot out of the film festival, not just the people who come and see the films, but filmmakers get a lot out of it because they get to talk with other filmmakers. They find out what they do. He says he comes and he's working on things. He finds people who can provide something for him. They know someone who would be good for the film, and they trade all this information. It's really helpful.
Well, that's absolutely funny, because that's one of the things that I think Rick really sought in the last most recent years, along with Tim and other board members, was to make it sort of a critical mass of congealing all these various filmmakers. Because we, at various years, we've had as many as half a dozen, 10, 12 filmmakers from all around the country, all around the world, right, who have flown into Sioux City, Iowa, and then they've ended up collaborating. We had a couple of French sisters who were actually quite prominent. They were the children of François Truffaut's cinematographer, and they both became filmmakers themselves. They came in one year. I think they didn't even win, but they had such a good time, and they ended up meeting another filmmaker from North Carolina, collaborating on a feature project separately. We have filmmakers, as I alluded, all over the world who submit, and from not just the Midwest that come in. You know, people from, in years past, we've had people come in from Philadelphia, from New York, from Los Angeles, from Chicago, from Minneapolis, from Omaha, from Kansas City. And then they end up meeting together at this, as Leslie said, the director's roundtable. And you can find, you may end up working with people.
This year, one of the films that's showcased is Storm Lake, and it's got Art Cullen, the owner and editor of the Storm Lake Times, Pulitzer Prize-winning editor.
This documentary follows him and his family. They own this paper. They run the paper. It's very much a family enterprise. And here's a clip from that documentary.
The Storm Lake Times weaves the fabric of the community in large ways and small.
Yeah, right?
We're on deadline. We're ready to put it on the page.
I get real uptight about deadlines.
Readers decide our future, not any branch of government.
We have happy stories about all types of people.
You're a singing star.
Most people in Storm Lake care about community.
Hey, guys.
But how long does a community support journalism? Because now people want to get their news for free, and people are saying, oh, well, that's not worth a dollar. And that's not how you sustain a democracy.
For this film, you could see it's just like a day-to-day, what it's like to do journalism in a small town at a small paper. And I think that that's a story a lot of people have not heard or don't understand.
And I think it's the fact that it's getting a debut in Sioux City is kind of a testament to our ability to have certain cachet that the filmmakers wanted to get it shown here. It was shown in Storm Lake. It was shown in, I believe, Des Moines and Minneapolis, and it'll be shown in Los Angeles and New York, a nationwide rollout November 17th. But the fact that we could get this feature documentary about a very, very timely subject of journalism surviving in the digital age is really quite timely. As you referenced, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner for editorial and news coverage, and the Storm Lake Times, we're hopefully going to get a good turnout. That's Thursday night. Technically, that's not part of the judged competition. The judged competition of short films begins Friday morning, October 1st through the 3rd. But the kickoff is September 30th, Thursday at 7:30 at the Promenade Cinema with the with Q&A with Art Cullen afterwards.
And we are able to bring this to Sioux City with a donation from Kind World Foundation. So with that donation, we're able to secure the theater and bring in Art Cullen and pay any necessary costs. So thankfully to the Kind World, we're able to do this.
Also, you got Wayne State College's Dr. Michael White. He's done several films. He has a background in broadcasting and journalism. And Leslie, you were in a film that he directed called The Ghost in Her, right?
He was really thrilled with how that turned out. And it's just a short amount of time that you guys had to work on it.
Right. We only shot, I think, for maybe a day and a half or maybe two. And there were just a few reshoots, but on location in a wonderful record store up in Sioux Falls. I think it turned out really well. It was a good experience.
Now, another Sioux City native, a filmmaker, is going to be at the festival as well, and her name is Michaela Wadzinski.
Now, is Michaela going to be, she's speaking at this?
She'll probably be at the Filmmakers Roundtable on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. in Convention Center C. And she has a film accepted through the judging competition. She has a film that will be screening also during Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be a lot of encore. So if people miss things on Friday or Saturday, there will be encores on Saturday and Sunday.
Her film, I believe it's called Know You Well. It's a very clever bit of animation.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful piece of animation with no dialogue. It's very thought-provoking and extremely well done.
But she went to North, I think North, and she's from Sioux City. Her dad's a doctor here in town. And then she went to UNL and was a student at UNL when her film was in competition 3 years ago that Ron Clements picked as the best animation. And she's graduated from college now, and I think she's either in Los Angeles or New York. And she's in a big city somewhere and is still pursuing her animation career. So we're very happy to have her submission.
I watched that the one that she won the prize, Negative Space, Spaces,
is
that right?
Cool? Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was really cool, the way the person's drawing, and then the characters come off of the page,
yep.
And that whole animation world, it seems to be growing. It becomes much more impressive, I think, as time goes on. Not just because of technology, but there's such an interest in it.
Absolutely. And the talent pool that has come in through our festival, as Greg alluded to earlier, we watched hundreds of films. In fact, it was over 260 because we had a little bit of a backlog from 2020 when we didn't have our festival.
We bit off more than we could chew.
We tried to get as many in as we could in the time that we had. But that meant the competition was extremely stiff. And we had judges from the community along with the board. We had a rating scale. We had multiple people view multiple films so that we had an average score. Then everything went through the board again for evaluation to make sure we had the right ones. It was just a time-consuming, really exciting process, but also stiff competition.
And not everybody gets in. There were good films that were on the border and did not end up getting into the festival.
Leslie Worden.